Greetings, listener. You are currently listening to Cult Cinema Catacombs. These films exist. And now, here are your hosts, Roy and Andrew.
Yeah, that trailer is just an appetizer, a hors d'oeuvre for what you're about to experience.
Oh God, I guess. If I have to see Dom DeLuise's dick, I'm out.
Well, hell, that's why I watch it.
If I have to see Dick DeLuise, which is what he called his dick, I'm out.
You know, for a gay man, Dom DeLuise produced some really cute looking kids. I'd bang the whole damn DeLuise family.
On that note, welcome to Cult Cinema Catacombs, folks.
The whole DeLuise and Damley.
Welcome to our second part of the Attack of the Killer Turkeys double feature we're doing this month. And so, or our first episode we're doing Thanksgiving. This one, we're doing a film that I bet I can best describe as being like the video in The Ring. You have 7 days to share it with somebody or else you're going to die. And I'm talking about the 1977 final film of Mae West, Sextet.
What was the film before this one? Because that was actually her final film. We actually saw
that film. Of course, it was Myra Breckinridge.
It was Myra Breckinridge. Of course it was.
So this kind of, you know, just falls into that. So
let me add one thing real quick.
Uh-huh.
You had not heard of this film till you met me.
No.
I found a DVD of this at Tower Records in Dallas in 2001. And I saw the cast list and I did the whole gay gasp. Ran to my friend Gary. I said, you've got to read this. He had never heard of this film either. He was a big Mae West fan. And we're like, oh, we have to watch this immediately. And I bought it sight unseen, paid $9.99 at Tower Records. Rest in peace, Tower Records now, but they're still online, but still. And oh my God, just wow. Just wow.
So, a little bit about this movie. This is based off of a stage play that Mae West wrote called Sex.
And all right.
The play debuted in 1961. It was not a musical, from what I understand.
No.
She originally wanted to have Christopher Plummer star in this movie.
Okay.
And he had the good sense of saying no. This film cost $4.8 million to make in the 70s. Keep that in mind while you're watching this movie. Mae West received $1 million alone to be in this film.
They paid a dead woman $1 million to be in this movie.
Ah, man. So, and also that was reported, though, in March of 1976. But then in July of 1976, it was reported that the film would actually be made for $1.5 million. And instead, Mae West would get $250,000 and 20% of the profits.
Did it do anything? Did it make a profit?
No.
I didn't think it did.
Such a bomb. It is such a bomb. Mae West wanted this to be a celebration of Mae West, and that's why Timothy Dalton took the role, because he loved it, and he was like, you know, this is such a great, you know, celebration of her history and blah, 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 blah. However, this is Timothy Dalton, not only pre-James Bond, but pre-Flash Gordon.
Is it pre-Remington Steele? It is, right?
Yes. So he's very young here. Mae West was 80 when she made this movie, and she was also partially blind,
right?
And partially deaf. So it's Sextet: The Walking Dead is basically what this
is. I'm telling you, I watched the trailer.
So here is the all-star cast that is in this film.
Oh God.
Of course, Mae West, and of course, Timothy Dalton, and we've also already determined that Dom DeLuise is in this movie.
Right.
The film also stars Tony Curtis, Ringo Starr, George Hamilton, Alice Cooper, Keith Moon, Walter Pidgeon, Rona Barrett, Regis Philbin, and George Raft.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, right? It is literally an all-star cast.
It's unnecessary.
And the film is written to be a wacky musical screwball comedy, like Mae West's movie.
Why do you keep showing me wacky musical screwball comedies that just are the most insane things I've ever seen?
This, believe me, nothing that I've shown you when it comes to those type of movies will compare to Sextet. And here's why. We have moments in this movie where you will see how they hit a cane in her dress.
Okay.
She's suddenly pushing on the script. She was not able to read her script because of the cataracts in her eyes. So she had to have her lines fed to her with an earpiece. However, the earpiece would also pick up transmissions from the local police force. So while she's on the set, all of a sudden she'll be like, there's a 187 on Avenue 3. You know, she would be saying it in her sexy Mae West demeanor.
Oh, God. Okay.
There was a scene where they are doing a scene where they're going to have her come out of an elevator and walk onto it. However, they decided to actually take a break from the set. They called lunch and took an extended break until they came back. They left Mae West in the elevator.
And no!
So she is stuck in there the entire time. And when they come back, they're like, oops.
That's really great. That is top tier movie that we would watch shit that's happening right now.
The role of Sir Michael Barrington, who Timothy Dalton plays in this movie, was originally going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's wild. Okay.
But he turned it down. He didn't want to do it. He read the script and he's like, no thanks. this film was released by Crown International. And the thing is that they released it. It bombed. Then they re-released it as a New York film, a New York midnight movie film in 1979. But the only people who would embrace this movie was, surprise, surprise, the gay audience.
No.
And just all the thing is just it's
a joy to behold.
We've got Alice Cooper as a waiter who is at a disco piano. So we see Alice Cooper performing disco in this movie.
Hell yeah. Good. Good.
His song is the only original song in this movie. Other songs are, you know, her doing adaptations. Like Hooray for Hollywood is in this movie.
Oh my God.
Babyface is in this film. Instead of the song being Happy Birthday Sweet 16, it's Happy Birthday 21. I mean, just it's bad.
I mean, good for Mae West. That's what I'm going to say. Way to go.
Mm-hmm. The best little bit though that I love is that when Mae West found out that Tony Curtis was being played as one of her ex-husbands. At the time, Tony Curtis was 52 years old.
Sure.
Mae West hated that because she said he was too old.
Ha! Nice. I aspire to a level of fame that will let me create a monstrosity like this to support it. That's the level. People want boats and planes and shit. No. I want a movie with Ryan Reynolds and JoJo Sawa and Devin Sawa and anybody named Sawa in a movie where I'm 92 years old and I can't see anything, and I'm crawling on the floor, and people are acting like I'm 23. That's what I want. That's fame right there, baby.
Well, this film is as close as you're going to get to that. You'll love the tagline, by the way. The tagline for the movie on the billboards when this movie was being advertised is "Mae West is coming."
No. Nope. Let's not do that, though.
Yeah, I think out of all the turkeys we've watched on this show, this is probably the biggest, fattest turkey
we've ever. I'm excited.
Yeah, I hope so. I can't wait to hear your reaction to this thing.
I mean, that's what you've turned me into, is you've just described this, and I'm like, yeah, let's watch it. I'm excited. That's the monster you've created. I feel like a Clockwork Orange over here. My eyes are just propped open. You're just creating this thing that I've become.
And I helped.
Yes.
You did, Chris. You certainly did.
Wait till you see next month's
movie. Were the guy in the lab coat going, "We're going too far." Roy's the guy in the military outfit just like smacking you with a General Patton stick. You're like, nine. Put more apple in him.
Oh, this movie makes the apple look like Citizen Kane.
Shit.
Like I said, just wait till next month. So are you ready to dive into the world of Mae West?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it up.
All righty. We'll be right back after we have witnessed the monstrosity that is Sextet.
Jeez.
Take 15. What's the word?
What word, sir?
The word. What's the word?
Action.
Action.
Action. What the world needs now is a lasting peace. And they've got it. Mae West.
How do you like it in London, Marlowe?
Oh, I like it anywhere.
In the uninhibited, unabashed, unforgettable, overexposed Sextet.
That dress is so fantastic that even I would wear it. In fact, I have.
Mae West is Marlowe Manners. She's the most successful film star in history.
I'm the girl that works at Paramount all day and Fox all night.
But she won't be satisfied until she's loved by all mankind, one man at a time.
Well, wall to wall men.
Meanwhile, negotiations break down in a secret conference.
Yet.
And the world is on the brink of disaster. There's only one hope left.
Remember, she's doing this for Uncle Sam.
The world's leading expert in international relations.
I don't know much about politics, but I do know a good party man when I see one.
Because no one handles heads of state like Marlowe.
Inyochka, darling.
Oh, sexy Alexis.
That's me. Come in, my dear.
Even on her wedding night with Timothy Dalton.
Stiff upper lip. You know?
You gotta start somewhere.
George Hamilton.
Give me the number to Miss Manners, sweet.
I'm afraid we're not allowed to give that information out. I can.
Tony Curtis.
You remember that vulgar night we spent on the river?
What?
I mean that night we spent on the river Volga.
Dom DeLuise.
Hello.
Are you trying to get rid of me?
Oh, no.
Ringo Starr.
Husband number six, meet husband number four.
A pleasure.
Alice Cooper.
Blues chance with you.
Keith Moon.
Aztec Go.
Walter Pigeon. Rona Barrett. George Rath.
I haven't seen you in 2 years. What have you been doing?
2 years.
Tut, tut, tut!
And the U.S. athletic team.
What are you trying to do? Give me competition?
All right.
Oh, stop. Oh, well, go ahead, honey.
Immortal comedy will live forever.
Oh! It's later than I thought!
You won't.
By the time she gets out of bed, there may be a new administration.
See Mae West in the all-star, all-new, all-outrageous...
I'm sticking up the world.
Stick him up, world!
Sextet.
And remember, parental guidance is suggested.
So many things to say. Just fire it up. I've got so many things.
We'll get to that in just a moment. So All right. We're recording now. Okay. Yeah. Benchmark quality, you. Folks, with this show.
How dare you, Roy? That's all I have to say. I watched it. Where's my paycheck? I demand to get paid from now on. Anything with Mae West in it, pay me. Both movies you made me watch now. I deserve recompense. I think I said I deserve reparations.
Yeah, you sent me a text message saying I demand reparations for the hour and a half I lost with this movie.
Oh, my God, man. Good Lord.
Well, you asked when we did Myra Breckinridge, is it possible that she made a movie worse than this? And here's your answer.
Hey, my first question is, what was she looking at the entire movie?
I'm going to say her cataracts.
Yeah, because she wasn't looking at any of the actors.
No.
She was just staring into the middle distance the entire time.
Cross-eyed.
Yeah. Good. This is in poor taste, but, like, was she alive? Like, technically? Like, for this film...
Well, did you see the moments where you could tell that she was actually holding on to a cane under her dress when she's lifting the dress?
She was pinballing around for every surface she could lean against the entire film.
I think she died during filming. They just forgot to tell her.
Yeah. No, I agree, Chris. I agree. That's what I think happened.
I just want to know how
she kept passing out and waking up to deliver another line and then passing out and then waking up to deliver another line.
I want to know how much cold cream she ran into her décolletage for this movie. Because
that was formaldehyde.
Listen, Golan Globus borrowed heavily for the Skeletor makeup that Frank Loggia wore for that Masters of the Universe movie from this film. So let's give it some credit where credit is due.
Yeah, because
that was on Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, because they tried so hard to not make her look 80 in this movie, and I mean, just the pound of Duncan Hines that was on her face was just, you could tell.
Her lips were flush with her the rest of her skin because of how much they had on it. Mm-hmm. Did she look like that singing orange thing? That hanging orange, but like pale. It was disconcerting.
Did you expect the musical good? Numbers? No.
What? I'm sorry. The musical numbers? Is that what they were?
Like Hooray for Hollywood and...
You know how they take music from the 80s now and slow it down for horror movie soundtracks?
Yes.
That's pretty much what this was.
It's like all of a sudden out of nowhere it becomes the Donny and Marie Osmond show during the scene where they're checking into the hotel.
Oh, God. There was a point at which they were singing, and I don't remember what it was, but I'm like, is this in one time? This song has taken 35 minutes to sing.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack in this movie. Let's start with Love Will Keep Us Together.
Let's not. Okay, so let's start with Love Will Keep Us Together.
So we now know that Timothy Dalton cannot sing.
Oh, my God. That was the first thing I wrote you. I'm like, I was actually shocked. I figured he was, one of those triple threat guys that started on Broadway and ended up in Hollywood. But no, mm-mm. Not at all. The man cannot sing.
What would be the other two threats?
His gymnastic skills and his yachtmanship.
Yes. I mean... It had to be difficult for him to sing the line, young and beautiful. Seriously. Because look at her without going, I can't do this. I can't. Because
You will.
God. Oh, stop. Oh, keep going, baby. I'm just glad they never kissed because I would have just been. Yeah, I'm glad no one kissed her because it would have been like that scene in Not Another Teen Movie where the old lady and the the Sarah Michelle Gellar like character made out to make fun of Cruel Intentions. Yeah. Only the difference is that in Not Another Teen Movie, it was done to be a gross joke. And in this one, it would not have been a gross joke.
They would have kissed her and she would have become Clayface from Batman and melted into nothing and gone down a grate.
There's that. There's, Jesus. I'm still convinced Keith Moon just stumbled onto set and they just filmed him.
Well, I'm convinced everybody was kind of like that, because I'm convinced that Dom DeLuise was just, that's him being frustrated at Mae West trying to get her to do anything.
And then they gave him a musical number.
The plot was so damn convoluted. Like, it didn't need to be. Like, this was obviously a, Mae West's, like, going, you know, this was Harrison Ford before he dies in Star Wars, but it's Mae West doing everything she wanted to do in her final film. You know, getting all of her friends together, doing a movie that has, you know, George Hamilton, you know, all of her friends. Was that actual Jimmy Carter? Tell me it was.
No, that wasn't actual Jimmy Carter. No. Sucks. But the guy who was in charge of all that was Walter Pidgeon. And the person that she was talking to and having that really bad vaudeville joke exchange in the elevator with was George Raft. You had that going on, and she was genuinely friends with Alice Cooper, which is why Alice Cooper was in this movie.
And the best song.
We'll get to that song in a minute. The reason why Tony Curtis did this movie was because he saw it as an opportunity to be able to act with a living legend.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but she wasn't living.
I'm convinced they filmed that last scene first, and then after that she died. And then...
Yeah, she saw the dailies and like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that scene where... where Keith Moon comes in as her costume designer and having her try on all her outfits for her movie, which just happened to be all of the outfits that she's worn in her previous films in the 1930s. I'm convinced that she only did that scene so she could say, look, I still fit in my outfits. You know, because that's all it felt like. And Keith Moon had a funny line when he said, that dress is so fabulous, even I would wear it. In fact, I have. That's a funny line. But then all of a sudden, the gold moment happens.
Yeah, and like, what
the fuck is happening?
God, this whole movie was full of those moments. The moments with the chefs fighting when they were baking a cassette tape into a cake.
Yeah.
What is this? What is going on here? Later we find out that the whole thing is because Timothy Dalton is a spy.
Yeah.
For MI6 and has got this what is he trying to do? Start World War III?
No, he's trying to stop World War III and knew that this cassette tape would do it.
Because of the leverage that the cassette tape has.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, that's a plot convenience. Because how did you know about this tape? Because it was never mentioned until well later into the movie. And the only other person who knew about the cassette tape was Dom DeLuise's character.
Right. And I'm going to tell you this. In anything he's in, Dom is infinitely watchable. So he made this movie watchable. Anytime Dom was on screen, I could watch it.
Until he sang.
That's what Chris say back there in the background?
He said, until he sang.
Until he sang.
Yeah.
Nobody looks to Dom DeLuise for singing. But I will say, go ahead.
Mae West did come up with a couple of good zingers, like when the George Hamilton character is coming up because they thought he was dead and he's still alive and they're freaking out about it. And suddenly there's a knock on the door. Dom DeLuise goes, what was that? Oh, God, what is that? And Mae West goes, well, it ain't opportunity.
That's
a good line.
That's a funny line. Yeah.
He had some good lines in this overall. But
But
I mean, she proves she can still deliver it. when she really knew what the hell she was saying.
But the scene where she, you could definitely tell that she was lost, totally lost.
Was the other 80%?
Yeah.
Well, specifically, in the scene when she's in the gymnasium with the U.S. men's athletic squad.
Which is the most nebulous term for anything ever. The U.S. men's athletic team is here. What? Ooh. What are they? You won a lot of gold, U.S. men's athletic team. Like, no, that's not how it works.
This is our mascot, Ricky. And here comes this kid with this, like, mop top on his head who looks
Oh, God. Talk about an uncomfortable scene.
Hi, Marlo. I've seen all your movies.
And then she's like, let me sing you a song. You're like, no, don't. Please, God, Mae West. Don't.
I'm going to make you horny. No, please don't, ma'am.
God. Can we talk for a second about one of the tent poles of this entire film is okay. The fact that apparently Americans have never heard a British guy talk before. Can we just talk about that for a while?
Yes, because that was used as the basis for a lot of
an entire poor taste
gay jokes.
Yes, good God. Just
because of what you said out there, a lot of people think you're
like, come on. Now we got to prove you're straight. So you got to go hang out with the men's athletic team. Like, what are we doing?
Why, yes, I've coxed with some guys before in my life and blah, 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 blah. And yes,
I'm generally gay. Like, oh, okay. Because nobody. At that time period, never heard that term used for that purpose before. Like, come on, damn it.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that, what's her face, the gossip columnist woman, Rhoda Barrett, as old as she is. I refuse to believe that she does not remember that the term gay used to mean happy before it meant man of ill repute. Yeah, so,
I mean...
Just and to prove yourself that you're not quote unquote gay, you need to go hang out with the men's athletic team and work out with them.
You're not gay. Go stand in a room full of half naked and practically and naked men for a couple of hours.
Yeah, talk
jumping
about your
on
dick.
A trampoline.
Talk about your dick for 20 minutes and then jump on a trampoline for a while. That'll show them. Yeah. That'll show them. You're fully realized. A trampoline routine will show people that you're totally straight, because that's what I do when anybody challenges my sexuality.
I only suck dick to prove that I don't like it.
Right, like what is this movie? Like, just, what is this film? Like,
Ringo, was it me or did Ringo Starr seem like he was annoyed being in that movie?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't you be? And you showed up to the set, and this is what was happening. Mae West was just standing in a corner like the end of the Blair Witch Project, and Keith Moon is running around wearing a gold boa and nothing else, and you're like, I was a Beatle.
Yeah, he looked like he lost a bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He looked like he had a contract with the studio, and they said, this is your final film.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Alice Cooper. Wait a minute, no, before we get to Alice Cooper, let's talk about Tony Curtis, let's get to Tony Curtis as, like, the most stereotypical Russian.
Oh, yeah.
That you could think of, like, this, it's like, let's take Dr. Zhivago and inject borscht into him, like, crazy, and let's have him just throw glasses all over the place with no abandon, and
let's have him leave the cake out in the rain.
Yes, literally. You don't want the cake? Fine. I get rid of the cake.
Just let's go into my Dracula lair that I built in this room, in this hotel room.
Yeah, this hotel room just happens to have wall-to-wall red velvet drapery all over the place.
And candles lit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
To remind you of those cold Russian nights, because that's what you want to be reminded of.
Yes.
His character was just so upset they took him away from trying to find Moosin Squirrel.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
And, I mean, the film also, I mean, then again, I mean, yes, it was its time period, the 70s, But the blatant racism in this movie with the too many cooks in the kitchen sequence exchange of dishes, the food. Okay, first of all, if this was a genuine exchange of cultural dishes, in a real UN sanctioned setting, they would know protocol would say you don't give the Jewish ambassador pickled pig's feet.
That would never happen.
Absolutely never happen. And I heard that and I was just like, oh dear God.
No, I love that that's the part that gets you. Not that the whole movie is balanced on a pinhead of Mae West solving the Bay of Pigs, essentially.
Oh yeah,
because she slept with everyone in the room. You know, not that's not the part. It's the pickled pig feet joke that they made that was the part.
Because of the fact that she slept with everybody that's in charge of the entire world, she saved the world.
Yeah,
because she's Mae West.
Exactly.
So then that does bring us to the Alice Cooper musical number. Only Mae West could convince Alice Cooper to sing a disco song.
He was high.
Yeah, you could clearly tell he was high. First of all, it's disturbing to see Alice Cooper with a little afro.
And no makeup.
And
because Mae West was wearing it all.
Yeah.
There was nothing on set for Alice Cooper.
Nothing left.
And then while he's singing this disco song, we got the four background dancers behind him. And then you've got that one who looks like he's auditioning for RuPaul's Drag Race in the back. Whipping his head all over the place. I'm like, girl, tone it down.
11.
You ain't wrong. You are not wrong.
But I like the song, though.
Only original song in the movie.
It's the only original song in the movie.
The song was better than anything else in the movie, besides Dom. That was... The Dom and that song were the only acceptable things that have happened in that film.
And can you tell our lovely listeners about the final moment in the movie?
I blocked it. I blocked the actual line out. But basically, you'll have to deliver the line. But basically what happens is Timothy Dalton, she figures out he's a spy for the British. He leaves her a note that says that he took off to his yacht because, he can't give her the love that she wants because of all of the, granted, she's 98 years old, but he can't do it because, you know, of all these other men in her life and blah, blah, blah. And so she calls Dom DeLuise up. I think it was Dom at the end and is like, I'm leaving to go to this yacht. I can catch him before he leaves. And he shows up at his yacht and she's already there somehow. In bed, because God knows she couldn't have walked across the yacht. and, you know, professes her undying love. And this is where, you know, this is it. This is the last husband of the six, I guess. What's the worst? It's the worst single ending line in any movie that we've watched in the going on 3 years we've been doing this show. What was it that you subjected me to, Roy?
Well, he makes a comment about, you know, about how she has saved the world.
Yes. Yes.
And that, you know, if Paul Revere was still alive today, that he would have nothing on her for what she did for her country. And then she goes, well, I hope I get to say the same thing that he did. Oh, the British are coming.
And then it's like, and then it just like, you know, closes at that. And I'm just like, God, Roy, God damn it, man. And then I went and watched Thanksgiving and everything was okay again.
So I take it you can't recommend Sex Tape.
No, I cannot. I cannot recommend it. I found it to be an uncomfortable film to watch. I think Mae West was exploiting herself. But I still found it really, really exploitative in that respect. Like, she shouldn't have been doing this film. Somebody should have told Mae West no. But nobody would do that. So she made this thing and sullied the good name of Dom DeLuise. And for that, there is no forgiveness in my heart.
So now on the scale of Premutos, where would you say this falls?
Oh, Premutos is still worse. It's going to take a lot to get past Premutos. I would say this falls somewhere in the riding the bus with my sister category of films. So it probably in the bottom 10, maybe even in the bottom 5 for me.
So like right there with Riding the Bus and Terror of Tiny Town?
Yeah, it felt very Terror of Tiny Town to me. That kind of exploitation is the way it felt. Yeah.
Well, finally got that out of the way. Finally, I've been wanting to expose that movie to you for a while, just so you could see that. Yeah, this thing
actually exists. I exposed myself to that movie twice.
And I'm sure with this month's movie, just the way that you've been giggling about this, that you are looking forward to getting back at me now for exposing you to the horrors that is Sex Ted.
You know, you would think this would be getting back at you, but I don't feel like it is.
Okay.
I feel like this is a deserved movie for us to watch on this show.
Okay.
Right? This is called Cinema Catacombs. This is a show where we go back through movies that are cult movies or should be cult movies or become cult movies. And it is Christmas time, Roy.
Yeah.
And you're familiar with the story of Christmas, right?
Oh, God. It's not Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas again, is it?
No, but Kirk Cameron taught us about Christmas last year. And I'm going to teach you another story of Christmas.
Oh, God.
And that is the three wise men, except one of them is a woman in this one, which is great. You know, we're progressive. So I've got two wise men and a wise woman for this Christmas for you. The wise woman is Charlize Theron.
Oh, God.
One of the wise men is Gary Sinise. And the other wise man is Ben Affleck in a little film called Reindeer Games.
Oh, shit. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
This is the movie that you could not find streaming anyplace.
No.
And you bought the very last copy of.
The only copy I could send to you was a 3-pack of Rounders, Swingers, and Reindeer Games.
Well, 2 out of 3.
It is a dead movie. It is a dead movie, my friend. You can rent it to stream, but you cannot buy it.
Oh, my God.
Cannot stream it for free anywhere. Netflix, Hulu, Tubi,
which
Vudu.
I'm shocked about because
you can buy it, but you can't stream it.
Which I'm shocked about, yet I'm not, because I remember that just being the punchline for such a long time when that movie came out.
I can't wait. Game. I legitimately love this movie.
and God, I haven't thought of this movie in a long time. Oh, my God. I've never seen it. Movie? I've never seen it, but I've never seen Reindeer Games.
Seen it?
No.
Oh, God, I'm so happy right now.
Well, the reason why is because unless it was either Chasing Amy or Good Will Hunting, I tended to avoid Ben Affleck movies.
Oh, God, yes, 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 Hercules. I'm so happy right now. You've never seen Reindeer Games. I get to show you Reindeer Games.
I've never seen Reindeer Games.
Oh, this is going to be so good. This is going to be so good. I can't wait. It is a Christmas movie. It is Christmas themed. Uh-huh. Yet, in all of the movies, you know, we talk about Gremlins and Die Hard at Christmas. This movie never comes up. People wish this movie did not exist. These films exist. Yes, that is. Yes, this film exists whether you like it or not. So we are going to watch this shit and we are going to enjoy it. It's going to be a great Christmas. Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, and Reindeer Games. This is one for the record books, my friend. I am so excited.
This is the true meaning of the season is basically what you're saying.
It is. I guarantee you, Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas is worse. I guarantee you that.
God, the mutant family on Twitter when they find this duo out. Oh my God, what a duo. Okay.
I'm so excited right now. Let's watch it right now.
Well, we can't because it can't stream anyplace, so gotta wait.
I didn't want you to have to rent it, okay? I didn't want you to have to rent this film, so I bought it, and I sent it in a three-pack with Swingers and Rounders.
Well, at least I've got a copy of Swingers now, so I guess that's a silver lining right there.
I guess. But yes, this is the greatest day. I'm so excited for this.
Oh, my lordy. All right, folks. So, the next December is going to be quite the interesting month for the show. It really is. It's got to be better than Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas, because last year that was just, I mean.
That was tough.
Oh, that was tough. I mean, but it was very 2020. It fit with 2020.
It really did. It really did.
And 2021 has just been so what the fuck this year.
That it makes complete sense.
That it makes completely sense. We're doing Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, and Reindeer Games. Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to watch Reindeer Games, you can probably put it on TNT right now and it's on. So. They're going to show it all Christmas. It's like a Christmas story on TBS. They just show Reindeer Games for 24 hours straight. That's why they won't give me a TV station. Because I would 100% just show Reindeer Games for 2 days straight. We should have our TV station.
God, can you imagine? I mean, we would have -3 subscribers by the time we got
the world would love us. The world would love us if we had our own. People would be flocking to that shit. People would be paying upwards of $3 a month for what we would offer. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, man. All right, gang. Well, join us next month. I hope everybody has a safe and happy Thanksgiving if you celebrate it.
Don't get killed by a radioactive turkey that says hi.
If you haven't listened to our Thanksgiving episode, you have to go listen to it and see why we're telling you you need to watch this thing. And unless you are really, really, really morbidly curious to see the film that in so many ways killed Mae West's career,
maybe halfway through it,
then you can check out Sextet. Somebody thankfully uploaded it up onto YouTube to watch, so
there's no copyright issue because nobody claims the damn thing.
Yeah, no one wants
it. Nobody wants it.
No one wants it. Here, just get this film out of our way.
Ringo Starr personally buried it in the desert like those ET cartridges.
Right next to her body.
Now watch. Now that we've released this episode, Factory's going to announce that they're coming out with a special edition.
Oh yes, for sure. It's going to be a 4K restoration with Dolby Atmos sound, and Mae West will ghosts will come to your house and give you a director's commentary while it's playing or some shit. Mondo's going to release the soundtrack. It's 5 hours long, and it's one song by Mae West.
All right, let's go ahead and put this film into the swan bed where it belongs.
Oh.
All right, gang, we will see you next month, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye. All right.
No. Oh, God. Nightmares.
Sunshine, tears and rain, precious memories of years gone by. Eyes of darkness, fear and pain, all the time that we had. When all that's left is a photograph, not one golden moment in the sun. Doing what had to be done, living under the gun. Not a sign of comfort anywhere. In the
dollar. Oh, Mr.